Chapter 13, Yuar Prepares to Invade Earth. 4 years had passed since Rex first teleported Crystal into his bedroom. Then as Yuar gave the order to commence the final countdown to teleport the city to Earth's space, as the countdown number hit 1 then 0, the entire city was teleported between the moon and Earth. Meanwhile, pods had started to surround the Crystal City. The invasion had surely begun. Rex was in a council meeting when the news of the Crystal City had appeared in our solar system. The Moon City was going about business as usual, and three of the board members were on Earth. The city appeared like a diamond in space, a golden crystal pyramid in the blue sky. Earth was put into martial law by Victor as he looked up into the day sky and saw the diamond-like pyramid city dazzling in the day sky like the brilliance of an extra sun. It was massive and covered a large portion of the sky. He tried to incinerate it there and then, but that was impossible. The immediate effect of its appearance was the changing of tidal conditions. Then the earth erupted in violent cyclones and storms within the first hour of its appearance. Messages from Earth were beamed into the Crystal City asking for a meeting. All the messages were ignored. That day, Yuar had relayed a message to all the TV stations and radio networks saying, "There will be no negotiations. The Earth must give up its power voluntarily or it will be taken by force. And anyone who wears the crystal, the pyramid on their forehead, must leave the cities now. Flee the cities now." This was left on repeat all day, until the networks finally worked out how to block the signal. Billions threw their hands up into the air and submitted to the Crystal City and its King Yuar. The movie Rex had made it had come true to the smallest detail. These citizens wanted nothing more than to live in peace and prosperity in the Federation of Planets and to get to know its benevolent king and his plan for them all. Many wept as they felt an end to their sufferings, and the true savior of mankind had arrived. The movie showed that under Yuar's rule, all lived in peace and plenty, except those who rebelled and lusted after power at the expense of their fellow man. That night, the Russian nations replied with a full-scale ballistic missile launch pointed toward the Crystal City. It would take 1 day to reach the city, but within 1 hour, the missiles were headed back to the countries that they had come from. Millions of citizens had packed up their belongings and moved into the desert. Houses were divided as some held to Victor and some looked to the Crystal City in Yuar. Rex had asked them to pack a small bag and leave immediately and don't look behind, but flee, so they would not reap the destruction that the cities and the governments were about to reap, using the returned missiles as an example of the destruction that awaited the rebels. Mushroom clouds dotted the Russian landscape. This only infuriated the Russian government. Then the ISS sent out a stealth missile toward the city from a remote location. It got within 1 kilometer before a pod sensed it as a meteor and pulsed it. It exploded beyond the force that a pod had ever experienced. Yuar was alerted, and extra pods were sent out to sense more of them. Victor had ordered the deployment of all their stealth missiles after it was noticed that one got close enough to the city which was not detected. Analysis inside the city determined their signatures, but not before 3 had struck the city and left some serious damage to the outer layers of the crystal skeletal structure. Teams were immediately sent outside to cleanse and repair the crystal gold skeletal structure. Yuar was most displeased. It's true, he had left the reaping of this blue planet too late. Even 300 years earlier would have been much safer still. Yuar always had a plan and a game plan to go with it. There is no doubt following Yuar and his plan was exciting. The citizens truly felt their existence. After 1,000 years of peace, it was a great shock when the blast vibrated the city, Crystal City. Still, the end result would be a lot more satisfying when the Earth finally became part of the Federation. Natus appeared inside the city and requested an audience with Yua. Within an earth hour, Yua looked at his dark brother in the eye, and the two said, "I think your time on earth is up, brother, you and your weak mortals." "It's my move, remember? Bishop to G4. Your precious queen is dead, brother, and you work so hard for that white bitch. And by the way, try not to destroy too much of my planet, brother." Natus laughed as he pictured himself back in Victor's command center and teleported there. As the voice in the back of Victor's mind, "You are like a general at a command center," gave orders to analyze Natus's move again. He suspected this move from his brother, but left nothing to chance. And then he summoned for Maten, who was waiting outside anxiously to bring the earth to its birth. While repairs were being done to the crystal gold structure of the city, 1,000 pods poured out of the city and headed for the earth. All the warriors were resolved to bring the earth to its knees. The warriors were shaken but not stirred, as their faces were like flintstone, adamant to finish the job, and like clockwork they flowed in total unity. Yua had set up 1,000,000 meteors the size of cars from the Jupiter belt to strike most of the cities on the blue planet. He timed their trajectory like the workings of a Swiss Rolex watch movement. The Earth cities were hours away from total destruction. There was no place for such cities in the Federation of Planets. Their pollution, their congestion and laziness that they foisted was not acceptable in the Federation. All citizens had super bodies, and they loved to use their strength. To plow a field with their bare hands was a workout that empowered the wisest of the citizens. Rex and Crystal were on live streaming on her website using their own dedicated satellite. Their message to the followers of the Federations on Earth was not to panic, but to wear the symbol Rabashak had asked Rex to wear or paint on, a pyramid on their foreheads, so Maten's army would know that they were part of the city citizenry. Crystal had a golden pyramid on her sweet, cute face. Wow, it did suit her facial lines. Rex felt like kissing her and making love to her right there and then, but maintained his composure and beckoned to the Federation followers to brace themselves. Victor had ordered a full frontal attack on the pyramid rebels and focused half of his army on their destruction. Millions of pyramid people, as they were called, formed a wall around the refugees of people who fled the cities. Victor's army was closing in on them all around the world in many countries. The sound of their tanks were in the distance, and the refugees were moving away from the impending armies. In some smaller countries, the armies were poised to attack the people who were cornered near beaches as the commanders held back, waiting for the order from Victor to attack. Victor wanted the armies to be in complete unison, as most were about ready to close in on their frightened civilians. Victor was on the media broadcast showing how the armies and the people were almost encased with his armies. The frightened civilians watched on portable TV as the last of Victor's armies were just hours from the refugees. Victor's plan was to blackmail the masses of refugees to submit to his unbeatable power as he held his hand on the trigger, so to speak. The war took an unexpected turn as the NASA moon base launched 12 stealth sarin gas missiles at the pods just outside the Crystal City. When NASA tracked the launch of the missiles from their moon base, Simon gave the order to deploy 2 space shuttles from the ISS to the NASA moon base. In just 3 hours, they were a couple of kilometers from the moon base. Victor's team on the base informed Victor on Earth of the shuttles coming to the NASA moon base. Victor then spoke to the commanders of the shuttles, assuming they were on his side, dropping off more nuclear weapons. The moon base then designated their landing paths as Victor had ordered. NASA had 25 bombs on board. Victor had requested these bombs to help with the resistance against the aliens. Yuan watched the two shuttles anxiously as reports came to him that the ships were armed with nuclear bombs, though strangely none of them signaled as active bombs except one smaller one. With this added knowledge, Yuan gave the order to leave them alone and watch their movements closely. Yuan was informed of the multiple attacks against the superbody pods and army pods being hit with the gas. Yuan knew well about this deadly toxin. At one time, it seemed like eons ago, he worked as a United Nations official during a Second World War on Earth and saw the destruction firsthand. He influenced the making of a vaccine that broke the balance for a season, but he deemed it worthwhile just the same. Yuan never thought he would be using it on the superbody pods, but within 20 minutes, all of the pods were vaccinated and had to be teleported back to the 92 Messenger cluster. There were some who were badly needing medical attention. Yuan's patience was wearing thin, and he projected to Maiten to cleanse the planet. He then turned his attention to the NASA moon base, but before he could summon the plasma wave to annihilate it, the whole base detonated into a mushroom cloud. The explosion could be seen brightly, even as far away as Earth. Yuan received a message from the commander of the shuttles asking for mercy and disclaiming responsibility for the NASA moon base attack, blaming it on Victor and pledging their allegiance to the Federation and you, our king. Simon sent the personal message himself, directing it to the Crystal City. Simon had no intention of fighting against the Federation and its king, and in fact, he always hoped the Earth would be saved in such a manner as this. With the teleporting of the infected pods back to the Messenger 92 system, this left our solar system with not as many superbody blanks as there were soldiers. For a millisecond, Yuar's heart fluttered, but like the warrior he is, he ordered the full-scale attack against Victor's army. Millions of Quatron broke through the Earth's orbit, and the cold plasma breastplates heated but did not burn as they plunged to the Earth, destroying planes and deflecting mortar shells and bullets. One of the Quadron fell to the Earth. A bullet pierced a chink in its armor and entered the brain of one of its heads. Roars of yay bellowed from the New World Order army. Another Quadron and its warrior rider, with precision maneuvering, had swooped down and picked up the fallen alien brother. Bullets were deflecting from his shield as he turned it on when he dived toward the Earth. Then the eager warrior turned off his shield to pick up the fallen warrior. A bullet had struck him in the head. Then, with his body falling lifeless to the Earth, the other soldier, who was very close, grabbed the reins of the Quadron and ignited his shield and powered toward the Earth's army, killing hundreds before teleporting back to a pod. Thankfully, his brave brother, who died trying to rescue him, teleported into a holding chamber in the Crystal City, where 100 others were waiting to possess their new blank superbodies. Maiten reported to Yuan that half the armies were subdued and all the warriors had successfully regained their new bodies. Yuan insisted on an advanced attack so as not to allow the enemy army to regroup. Hundreds of Quadrons and warriors were encircling the citizens who had painted pyramids on their foreheads. Any missiles aimed at them were immediately destroyed. There were thousands of refugee sites like this spread throughout the land, encircled with Quadron and their warriors. A billion people saved from this horrific war. Yuan looked on, well pleased with the results. There were vast numbers of trembling mortals in groups and families huddled together, whilst over the airways the command was given to be strong, as the Earth now is only a few hours away from liberation into the Federation. Like a woman giving birth, the final push had begun. Victor was annihilating hundreds of Quadron, along with the warriors riding them. The holding tanks in the superbody pods were filling up. Natus was grinning in the background. He could influence Victor's direction at any given moment. Rex was watching the devastation on his reliable satellite camera. He was visibly upset. Sadly, he turned to Crystal, saying in a broken tone, I really must go, baby. Crystal threw her arms around him and pleaded with him not to go. There were thousands of Yuar's followers with painted pyramids all over their bodies fighting hand to hand against Victor's army, who outnumbered them 10 to 1. With a kiss of pure love, he said quietly, "Don't mention I've gone, okay, baby?" And then giving a blink of an eye, he vanished. He was gone. At the same time, the two warriors teleported to their position on the battlefield on Earth. Rex had unknowingly, to anyone, only Crystal, teleported to the front line and kept himself busy teleporting groups of soldiers into the depths of the sea. Each time, he was being directed by the two guardian warriors. A defeated Moon Games athlete noticed him and immediately reported him to Victor. Victor glowed with power. He focused all of his power on the moon base, but before he could project the devastating plasma fire, Yuar appeared in the room, and with him four destroyers who promptly vaporized all in the command room except for Victor. The destroyers were a type of animal with two heads, one human-like and the other a beast, as it were, a cross between a lion and a T-Rex. They were simple in that they obeyed Yuar to the slightest of his command. They loved to destroy and kill. It was like food to them, though they did not eat flesh. They are the perfect guard / executioner, like a weapon in Yuar's control, but with a mind to boot. Again, using biological weapons, the destroyers, as time has proved over and over again, they are the ultimate weapons. Victor's power was immediately shielded, and like the pathetic mortal he was, he whimpered as he sat himself into a chair. Yuar grabbed him by the throat and said, "Come out, brother." Victor looked shocked at the godlike Yuar and his ardent face. The mist revealed Natus. Then Rabishak appeared next to Yuar. Victor knew it was this man's thoughts he had heard, portrayed as his own, or so he thought. "Oh, crap," Victor quivered. "I have a place for you, Victor," Yuar spoke. But he was immediately interrupted by Natus. But your word." "My word stands strong. Pawn to Bishop C4. I've captured your ex-pawn on F7, he growled as he tightened his grip on Victor. "Your Dark King is in check. You have to move that Dark Lord to E7. Death is imminent." "There is no escape this time, brother," Yuar roared like the king he was. I quit. I refuse to move. It's a stalemate, a draw," Natus spluttered. "A fucking chess game? Who are you people?" Victor could hardly speak. Yuar's grip had almost choked him. Yuar threw him to the floor. The destroyers nearby held them both. "I sentence you both to the penal planet, Hellgate. Give this Victor a superbody and see the sentences carried out. Seal it with a not to be released until the next birth world begins, Rabishak." "Brother, that could be 7,000 years away. Have mercy," pleaded Natus anxiously as the destroyers hauled them away. "Your Majesty, with pleasure," said Rabishak. He then kissed his hand with delight and unlocked the prison pod to receive the two. Rabishak, personally seeing to the immediate extradition of Natus and Victor to the penal world Hellgate, thus ridding the galaxy of these two traitors and bringing in peace. The balance was kept and the Earth was still in one piece, although all the cities and industry were gone. Maiten had caught up to the back of Victor's New World Army and Rex's band of freedom fighters. They fell to their knees, bloodied and tired, and stayed in silence at the meeting of Maiton and Yuar's people and the conquest of Earth. All the rebels were killed, not one remained. Millions of Quadrons scanned the planet and identified the New World Order citizens and killed them all. They freed the loyalists to Yuar, imprisoned by the New World Army in the thousands of camps around the globe. The New World Army threw up their hands expecting to receive mercy, but none was shown to them. Though all of the younger children were spared, as their population of refugees rose to 2 billion. Even the Russian on Dawn was detected and teleported back to Earth, but in a verdict by Yuar, he was given a full pardon. because he begged convincingly to be part of this exciting new world. It would seem his 3 years spent on Dorne had a very surreal effect on his vision of life. He was truly a new creature, as they say. 2 billion-plus people were released to restore the Earth into rural communities. All of the big cities were destroyed, the planes, cars, and some boats. A new world had begun, and the future looked bright. It took 7 months just to bury the dead. Teams were sent out to spot their bodies, and other teams would bury them. After the first year, there were animals making homes in the ruined cities. Kitchen cupboards became homes to many species. Swimming pools were ponds for frogs. The undergrowth had taken hold of all the cities, while Yuar continued to refurbish the earth with new growth and rebalance the ecosystem. The earth had been restored to a garden again, with many visitors from distant galaxies and planets within our Milky Way visiting the newborn planet to welcome them into the Federation. Crystal and Rex lived on a little farm in what was called Australia. They often teleported into the Crystal City, which sat like a rising sun in space, or to Dorne to see its progress. The Order of Dorne was to have small, self-contained villages, millions of them. It would take 10,000 years to connect even the closest one. Also, every mortal at the time of their death was given a new superbody to possess. The process was a standard class in the new education system that was implemented, and the projecting of their antimatter cells into the holding chambers of the superbody emporium in the city, which circled the new earth. Thousands of pods in assorted varieties were now circling the earth, and peace was the norm, order being the theme of life. Freedom ruled. The rules were so broad that nothing was limited. The Federation had now one more world to its endless collective, Earth. The end.